Welcome to Behind the Scenes with Dr. Christy Page and Dr. Adam Goldstein. We're having an extended conversation with Dr. Sandra McCune, who directs a program on human-animal interaction in England, a large global portfolio of research projects across many aspects of human-animal interaction. And Dr. McCune, really fascinating areas that we've been able to discuss for looking at the health benefits and who can really benefit, which sounds like a lot of people, and some of the problems. And I guess one of the questions that I see and I have is a lot of times I see people out running in the park with their animals and sometimes bicycling or on skateboards, and their animals are kind of like, you know, running along. And are there dangers to the animals of certain things that, particularly in our quest for triathlons and those aspects, are there times in which we should be concerned about the animal's health?
Absolutely. You know, there's two partners in this when it comes to pets and their owners, and we need to make sure that the welfare of the pet is good. And you know, if the pet hasn't been exercising regularly and the owner has decided to do more that way with the pet, then it is really important just to build that up slowly. And to take into consideration things like, you know, what's the temperature doing? What's the humidity doing? What you'll find is that actually running on roads or if you're on a bicycle and the dog is running beside you, that can be pretty hard on dog's joints, and particularly if they're not fit already. So what I would say is just build it up, you know, maybe start on softer ground and then build it up onto harder ground and just, you know, manage the distance so that it's not, a ridiculously long distance. And dogs also really appreciate a bit of time off leash as well as time on leash, you know, and then they can themselves kind of monitor, you know, what the level, the intensity of exercise that they're doing. So it is important. What we don't want to end up with is an injury to the person or to the pet.
Well, and thinking just for a minute about the pet perspective, it seems, and I haven't looked at the literature on this, but it seems that we're having more problems with cats and other animals having diabetes and having health problems related to inactivity or maybe overfeeding. And I wonder if we've got good research or certain recommendations of us to help our pets be healthy, as we think about our own lifestyle choices about food and exercise, to think about those things for our pets.
I think absolutely they're very similar issues, and we do have this, you know, parallel issue with obesity, but I guess what's probably not spoken about as much is also the parallel issue of just sedentary behavior, you know, a lack of physical activity. And there are many dog owners out there in the States, but actually many of them don't walk their animals at all. And that's not just in the States, that's in other countries as well. So what we're really encouraging people to do is, with the dogs that they do have, is to start exercising them, but to do that gently, you know, build it up in terms of intensity, and absolutely consider both the nutrition and making sure that they're getting really good, complete, healthy nutrition. And, you know, that's exactly the same for us. It's all about energy in. But then in exactly the same way, looking at the physical activity of the animals and like ourselves, of, you know, calories out. And then the other sort of aspect as well is sort of the mental kind of well-being side of it. So it's not just about physical activity, but it's also about mental stimulation. So we often say with walks, there are kind of two kinds of walks really for the dog. And one would be where you just literally need to get from A to B, you know, they're on the leash, off you go, and you don't stop, you just get on with it, sort of smart, brisk walking. But the other kind is the kind that I like to give my dog. My own dog, first thing in the morning, we do a quick 15-minute round the block. And that's just all about her sniffing out the scent that the other dogs have left and who's been around, what rabbits have passed by, and really stimulating her senses, you know, that she has something to think about. And it's when you get a balance between, you know, the nutrition, the physical side, and that psychological side, then you get a really healthy dog.
You know, that's an amazing place. And I guess there's one last question, which is, what do you think is the top one or two areas of research that in your work in the next 5 or 10 years you would say, this is what we need to find out and do?
Well, I think there's a real boost in research at the moment. And a lot of that actually is because we have a partnership with the National Institutes of Health, who are the big funders of health science in the States. And there the focus, which I think is very important focus, is looking at the role of pets in healthy child development. We know really very little relatively about the role that, that pets play in children's lives, in particular the health impacts of that and the developmental impact that that has. And I think particularly with some of the changing demographics that we have in the US now. So, for example, you know, children are more likely to grow up in a household nowadays with a pet present than with a father present. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's happening is we're realizing actually children
find pets just dropped, by
very,
the way,
very
both
important.
Of us. Both of us just had a jaw dropped when you said they're more likely to have a pet present than a father.
That's absolutely true, yeah. So it's taking the dog population in households and also the census for fathers present in households. And there are more pets in households than fathers today in the States. And what the social developmental, you know, scientists are finding is when they ask the children, so who do you go to when you're upset? They're really surprised to see that actually the pets are coming very close to the top, if not the top of the list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I must say, in all honesty, before I, and I did share with our earlier segment that I did lose a longtime pet about a year ago, but I used to always say, you know, to my wife, that whenever I came home, the only one in my family who always was happy to see me, who always wagged their tail, and who always licked my face, well, you know who it was.
The dog.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, what you've touched on is it's just that, you know, completely unconditional love
yes.
that they give us is so special about pets. And, you know, always, as you say, they're always there for us. They're always happy. And I think, you know, when the relationship is good, it can bring really great benefits to both the pets and to the owners themselves.
Well, Dr. McCune, thank you so much for being with us today on Conversations on the Show and for taking a few minutes with us on Behind the Scenes. It's been just a delightful conversation, and we really appreciate your time and the work that you're doing.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.